Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to NYPA Entertainment Radio. We're live here on Blog Talk. Colin Alonzo broadcasting to you from Philadelphia in the Boogie Down Bronx. Thank you for joining us today, or if you thank you for listening to this episode, if you downloaded this episode at a later date. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Lots to get into. I still have a whole bunch of music left over that I haven't had a chance to tap into from this month / February music playlist. As I stated last week, since I started the show on the 15th, and in the middle of the month, doesn't really make much sense to kind of switch over to February, so I kind of combine both together. But starting March 5th, Sunday, March 5th, brand new month, brand new music playlist. In fact, it'll be our annual all-female playlist in honor of Female History Month, Women History Month. And it'll be all genres, past and present, from all female artists in the month of March. And in fact, some of the female artists that I have on this list probably will fall over to that list for the month of March. But until then, I got a bunch, still got a whole bunch of music we have to go through here. So should be a lot of fun. Let's see. You know what? Let's get started. All right. Ed Lover thinks Emil is one of hip hop's biggest what ifs. Ed Lover listed former Jay-Z protege Emil alongside the likes of Nipsey Hussle and Pop Smoke as artists whose unfulfilled careers could have shifted the game. Picking up a conversation sparked by Nelly, Ed Lover took to Instagram on this past Thursday, to offer his input about who he felt might be considered the biggest what if in hip hop. Quote, Nelly said, hands down, the biggest what if hip hop in history is the DOC, because he got hurt after giving us one album, right? The radio host started. So I would say, yeah, Nelly's right about DOC, but I also like to add Nipsey Hussle. I also like to add Pop Smoke. I would also like to add Emil. And I'm going to tell you why I'm adding Emil. He continued, because with Jay-Z on the pen game, Emil could have been something stupid special for sure. So the DOC, Pop Smoke, Nipsey Hussle, Emil, I think those are the biggest what-ifs in hip-hop history. The former Rockefeller signee famously appeared on Jay-Z hit single Can I Get A, one of his earliest mainstream hits thanks to its inclusion on the Rush Hour soundtrack, and later on his third album, Volume 2, Hard Knock Life. The song became Ho's first top 20 single, entering the Billboard Hot 100 in 1998 and peaking at number 19 position over the course of 37 weeks on the charts. Following the song's success, Emil stepped fully into her role as the First Lady of the Rock, delivering the hook on another Volume 2 single, N-Word What, N-Word Who, before making three appearances on Jay-Z's Volume 3 Life and Times of S. Carter, including the album's lead single, Do It Again. She went on to be featured on albums by both Beanie Siegel and Memphis Bleek, and appear alongside her label mates on the Dynasty Rock Lock Familia, You, Me, and Him, and Her, before welcoming the crew on For the Fam, one of the biggest singles from her debut album All Money Is Legal, and her only solo Hot 100 hit. However, contrary to Ed Lover's assumption, Emil once said that her talent as a writer was one of the things that led Jay-Z to sign her. Quote, Jay had respect for my talent writing and my voice. Nothing more, she told Billboard in 2014 while speaking on the success of their first hit together. Jay gave me the opportunity of a lifetime, and what I did with it was my own decision. That was my brother. There was never a relationship between me and Jay or anyone over there. He was like a brother. He was very protective over me. I'm never going to lose any love for Jay. As for the brevity of her career, Mill explained that she simply came to realize that she wasn't that interested in hip-hop stardom. Quote, I wasn't there mentally. She said, I was in my own world. Was I prepared? No. Did I realize that was happening right before my eyes? No. I started to rebel. I rebelled against the industry because it's not what I wanted. I hated traveling. I wasn't at after parties or the club. Also, at the time, my son's asthma, who was 4 and 5 or 6 years old at the time, was getting worse, and no one was there for him. I had to be there for him. Amil officially parted ways with Rockefeller Records in 2001 while she stated on more than one occasion that she harbored no ill will towards her former label head and mentor. Hov may have felt differently. Jay-Z referenced the break at least one song, which saw him mention the original members of the rock roster and metaphors rapping, and you got a couple of beans and you don't have a clue. Your situation is bleak. I'm going to keep it real because fucking with me, you're going to drop a mill on the Blueprint intro track, The Ruler's Back. A whole lot to unpack there, starting with, I kind of like the hip-hop biggest what-ifs because there could be a lot. We can go on and on and on about hip-hop's biggest what-ifs. I could say Big Pun. He was just taking off when he passed.
Right.
Who you got in mind, Zoe?
I can't even think of a name right now. There's so many to unpack. I can't even think of a name right now. Definitely Nipsey Hussle is definitely a big what if, because I listened to some of his music and he had some skills. He had a lot of skills. Mm-hmm. Emil, I wasn't too crazy about, you know. I don't know, maybe it was her voice. I don't know. I wasn't too crazy about Emil. But what I wanted to state on Emil, you know, didn't she know this was part of the industry when she got into the industry, that you're going to be traveling, you're going to be doing all these things?
I guess I gather she you would know that's part of it since she got into it.
Right.
I don't know. I guess that's a good question.
That kind of puzzled me when you kind of mentioned that, you know, that she wasn't interested in, she didn't like traveling, you know, she didn't go to the clubs and all, which I understand, you know, you don't have to go to the clubs and all unless you're performing. But, you know, being in the industry and being an artist, you're going to have to travel.
You're going to have to travel. Yeah, that was no kind of. I did mention it. Claire, she said she didn't like traveling. So I kind of agree with you. That's a bit of a head scratcher. Like, that's part of being in entertainment. Well, more so the music side of it, whether it's hip-hop, rock, R&B, you're going to have to travel. So I don't know. I think there's more to that. There was a story, I think, Mrs. Bleak said about Emil, where – she would show up late. She would not show up to sessions, or she would get aggravated or whatever. And Jay would say, come, just show up to the, just come to the studio. You might not be doing nothing, but I want you to come for a reason. Memphis Bleek will always show up and so forth. Emil would call out or wouldn't show up or show up late or show disinterest. And we all know where Memphis Bleek is, sitting in millions, not doing shit. So, like, you know, he's in Jay-Z will somewhere. Jay-Z said it. He's in a will somewhere. So, and he said that, remember he said in an interview a couple of years back, like, I paid attention. He laid it out for me. I followed it. I mean, it didn't. So there's a lot of contrasting stories going around in terms of why she left rock or whatever. And I agree. I wouldn't put her as a hip hop what if, because I didn't see her as a rapper. I just seen her as a hook person, or just on the hook, or just had a voice. That's all I got out of her. So I was like, I don't see a big hip hop what if, because I never really heard her like rap. I never heard her
right.
never really heard her lyrics. So I agree. I don't see her as a big what if, unless it's insider like Ed Love has been around for years. He knows shit that we don't know. I'm with you, and I never was too fond of her voice anyway. She had the look. But I didn't ever thought of it as a female MC. There's a lot of other MCs out there I can't think off the top of my head of hip hop. What if I like the DOC thing? That's true. A Big Pun is one of them, and I'm drawing a blank on others. I agree with Nipsey also and Pop Smoke. I mean, if that's the case, quite frankly, you can say Biggie, because Biggie only made two albums.
He only made two albums. Right.
So you can say what if with Biggie, because he only made two albums. You know what, he could have grew off of that. People kind of forget it because you heard the mixtapes and all the other hidden gems. What if? You know what I mean? I can say for Pac also. He made a few, but he could have elevated even more. You know what I mean? So these guys are in their – you got to remember these guys are in their mid-20s. They, you know, so it still had a whole lot of years left and what they could have blew up into. So there's a lot of hip-hop what is out there. There's a lot. I just can't think of any more off the top of my head. But I think that's a good thing going around hip-hop.
I can say Mooney Love, you know, because I don't think that she got the props that she really deserved when she came out. Well, I don't know. How many albums did Mooney Love come out? I don't know of the one album that she came out with.
She might have did two. She might have did two or three. Keep talking. Let me look this up. Keep talking.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many albums she came out, but I could say that Mooney is probably more of a what if.
Yeah.
There's a few of them. It's like, if I'm not thinking about it, I can name like so many of what if. Right now, it's like my mind is a blank of what if. And there's
right.
so many artists out there.
She did. She had two albums. Down to Earth and A Word or Two. She only did two albums. Only had two albums. Had a lot of singles, but the two albums, only two albums. So, and one in 1990 and 1993. So, yeah.
Could you say, would you say Lauryn Hill?
You know what?
Would you add her to that one?
I would say yes. I would say yes. That's
because she walked away when she was, you know, at the peak of her first album.
And I think she only did one album, didn't she? I think it was
it was
Education. It smashed, and then she kind of just faded out.
Disappeared.
Yeah, disappeared, focused on her kids and everything. So I would say that, too. I would say that's a good one. That's a very good one, Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill. That is a good one. I agree. Yeah. I like that conversation. I like the what ifs. And I'm sure more will pop up once the show is over. This person and that person.
Yeah, of course.
All right, let me see. All right, so one more before we go to break. Tyler Perry offered, "I'll buy future FDA lab in ATL to keep pollution out of black neighborhood." Tyler Perry isn't just concerned with including more black people on TV/film. He also worried about pollution in black neighborhoods, and he's willing to drop several million for a federal building to prove it. The media mogul says he's concerned in buying the Forces Command Building, a former U.S. military training complex adjacent to Tyler Perry Studios in Atlanta. The building's currently tagged to become an FDA laboratory, but TP's seen the proposed plan and has deep concerns about potential fumes, according to ATL News news report. The building was reportedly approved to be sold to Easterly Government Properties in 2019 for $17 million, and the current plan is to be leased to the FDA, which would have it up and running by 2025. Tyler already offered to buy it for the same 17 mil, but the Fed sold it to Easterly instead. He's not giving up that easily because Tyler says he's willing to pay a premium for the property now if that's what it takes to block the lab. He stated, to allow someone to put a laboratory in the heart of this development with smokestacks is not okay with me. They would not do it in Buckhead, so why would they do it here? It feels like environmental racism.
I agree.
An FDA official says Tyler's description of the lab's smokestacks is not accurate, and the facility are actually designed to clean all emissions. The building sits right next to land where Tyler's expanding his studio. Sounds like it won't be the easiest deal to close, but Tyler Perry isn't going down without a fight. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, listen, I'm for him with that. You know, if he sees something that is not right, yeah, do something about it. I'm been going on for a long time, the pollution in urban neighborhoods, you know, poor neighborhoods and all, whether it's here in New York or, you know, all the way to Cali, you know, it's been going on for a long time. When you go into certain neighborhoods, you see certain conditions, you know, that you won't see somewhere else. Like the pollution is heavy in certain areas that you won't see somewhere else. I'm all for him, you know. If you can buy this building and prove your point that this is what's going on in the neighborhoods that they would normally not do in, you know, the other neighborhoods, if y'all know what I mean. The other neighborhoods, the white neighborhoods.
All right, easy there, Malcolm X. That is true. I've seen W. Kamau Bell did something a year or so ago, and I forgot, it was right in this area. I forgot what area it was, and they kind of, there's a lot of land there, factories, smokestacks, people, residential homes and so forth. And he was right in what you mentioned, and saying that Tyler Perry is like, you only put these in certain neighborhoods. And I like the fact that Tyler Perry, you had the power and the money to, like, that's not happening here. He pretty much was like, I'm shutting that down. Forget that. I'm a billionaire. I got the cash. Ain't happening. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, it's like he sees what's going on. He's in the position to stop it or try to stop it or minimize it as much as possible. I think that's cool. He sees the wrong that he's trying to right. And I think a lot. I think this spotlight should be brightened. Like I said, I've seen reports on it, and it's sad, and it's, yeah, it is racism involved, and it's only in certain elected neighborhoods and so forth and so on. So I tip my hat off to him and wish him luck, and I hope he accomplishes what he set out to do. You know,
right.
So we'll see. We'll keep y'all posted. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we got a lot more things to get into. Stick around. NYPA Entertainment Radio.
To the pop song that I'm singing, ding-a-linging, funky beats ringing, everybody swinging in the place as I kick the J's, easy watch style, R&B, mixing it with the hip-hop, swing beat, champagne in my hand, it won't be long till I'm gone, it's just the same old song.
It's just a freestyle, meanwhile I keep the beat kicking, sweat dripping, girlies in the limo eating chicken, oops, go get the grease on your pantyhose, I love you, Rover, move over, I gotta blow my nose, sneezing, but still I'm pleasing, all the slimmies, pull out my jimmy, time to get busy with a Jenny, if it's good and plenty, don't you know, there I go, but I don't go nowhere without my gym hat. When I'm rapping is if she's clapping, then I'm strapping, cause I'm smarter than that. And then, girlie, maybe we can get along, cutie after cutie, it's just the same old song. It's the same old song, y'all. It's just the same old song.
squeaky, squeaky up and down. Well, as a matter of fact, I'll be right back, I gotta take a leak. So I'm draining entertainers, but I got fame and the bases I touch. Too much for me to try to be naming. Hey yo, he saw me on cable and grip. I busted in and I was going to win. I thought Gable back in Oakland, it's the same old song for 40 shorty, same freckles and hat, drinking the same 40.
Hypothetical, political, lyrical, miracle whip. Just like butter, my rhymes are legit, cause I'm a Humpty. Not Humpty Dumpty, but Humpty Hump. Here a hump, there a hump, everywhere a Humpty Hump.
Shut up and just listen, not dissing, don't get me wrong. But to me it's just the same old song, so just watch. Cause my name is Shock, I like to rock and you can't stop this. Tupac, go ahead and rock this.
Now I clown around when I hang around with the underground. Girls used to frown, say I'm down when I come around. Gas me, and when they pass me, they used to diss me, harass me, but now they ask me if they can kiss me. Get the fame, people change, wanna live their life high. Same song, can't go wrong if I play the nice guy.
Claim and fame must have changed now that we became strong.
I remain still the
why
same,
two?
Cause it's the same song.
Same old song, y'all.
Preoccupied with getting tossed, no need to lie. You had a man in and I knew it. You told me, don't worry about it, we can do it. Now I'm under pressure, make a decision, cause I'm waiting. When I'm alone, I'm on the phone, having secret conversations. I wanna take your misery, replace it with happiness, but I need your faith in me. I'm a
Welcome back to NYPA, the Timmy Radio Live here on Blog Talk. Remember, if you can't catch NYPA while it's happening live, you want to welcome to go on Blog Talk on demand or any of the other 18 platforms and download this episode and others. Remember to subscribe, download, share. Let everybody know, pass the word, spread it around. The more reviews we get, the higher we go up in the rankings. I would say 5-star reviews. So just spread the word, NYPA Entertainment Radio. So what do you want to get into?
Santa Fe District Attorney Mary Carmack says Alec Baldwin is being charged as both an actor and a producer on the movie. She said he pulled the trigger as an actor and had the duty to make sure the set was safe as a producer. The district attorney says Alec definitely pulled the trigger despite what he says because she trusts the FBI analysis. And she says one of the reasons the investigation took so long was because prosecutors were waiting to see what the FBI concluded about the gun. Alec Baldwin attorney Luke Nikas released a statement saying this decision distorts Halina, I can't pronounce the name, Hutchins, tragic death and represent a terrible miscarriage of justice. The Baldwin had no reason to believe there was a live bullet in the gun or anywhere on the movie set. He relied on the professionals with whom he worked who assured him the gun did not have live rounds. We will fight these charges and we will win. Alec Baldwin, as I said earlier, will be prosecuted for fatally shooting cinematographer Miss Hutchins on his Rust movie set. This is going to be very interesting, you know, as this goes on. You know, will he be, you know, convicted of it? And he's not the only one that's being charged on the set. There's others that's being charged on the set as well, that's going to be charged on the set, you know, for the fatal shooting as well. But this is going to be interesting. It's going to be a long, long fought, you know, case for this set of the fatal shooting on the set of Rust. What do you think about this? Do you think that is a possibility that he can be convicted for this, or he's going to be exonerated?
He'll get something. It's a lot of he said, she said, a lot of finger pointing. I think he's not going to come out unscathed. I don't think he's going to come out clean. I don't think he's going to be exonerated at all. I think I doubt he'll do time, but it definitely going to hurt his career. He might have to pay a lot of money. I don't think he'll see any time behind bars, but it's definitely going to mess his career up, and it's going to mess him up personally because he accidentally took someone's life. So, who did it? Who planted the bullet in? Whether he knew or not, as he said, she said, everyone's pointing the finger. So, like I always said, there's his side, there's their side, and in the middle, there's the truth. So, who knows? But he's not going out unscathed. Not get him personally because you took someone's life, unfortunately. You can't – I'm sure I never want to experience this, but I'm sure you can never shake that, especially accidentally. We didn't mean to.
Right.
Someone's responsible for putting that bullet, a live round, into that gun. So it's pretty much – it's kind of like a – it's definitely like a detective thing, like can I kind of connect the dots. Who had it last and why didn't he know? So like you said, it's been going for a while. But he's not getting out of that situation unscathed.
It was said that there was a lot of live rounds on that set, which shouldn't have been on that set. It should have just been blanks on that set. So why was there live rounds on the set? That was what was reported earlier. Also, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that he originally stated that he did not pull the trigger. So let's just say that he did not pull the trigger. If he didn't pull the trigger, who did?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a lot of
finger pointing. So it's a lot of people standing around and everybody's pointing the finger. And again, his side, their side, somewhere in the middle is the truth. But at the end of the day, unfortunately, someone lost their life. And that's the main thing right there that she's no longer with her family or anything like that. So that
right, it's unfortunate.
Brighten things up a little bit. Antoine Fuqua to direct mm-hmm. Michael Jackson biopic for Lionsgate set to begin shooting this year. Director Antoine Fuqua. I like, anytime you have a bad day, they say his name, you smile. Fuqua will helm the upcoming biopic Michael, based on the life of Michael Jackson from Lionsgate, which will distribute the film worldwide. Set to begin principal photography this year, the movie will be produced by Graham King, Oscar winner for The Departed in 06, three-time nominee for The Aviator in 04, Hugo in 2011, Bohemian Rhapsody in 2018, which won four Oscars, including Best Actor for Rami Malek as Freddie Mercury. Written by Skyfall scribe John Logan Michael, this is the name of it, Michael, is set to give audiences a never-before-told and in-depth portrayal of the Grammy-winning singer who became the king of pop. The film will explore all aspects of Michael's life, including his most iconic performances, that led him to become the greatest entertainer of all time. Logan has assembled three Oscar nominees for Gladiator, Aviator, and Hugo. Antoine is a perceptive and powerful filmmaker, and we feel very fortunate that he has chosen Michael as his next project. His visionary storytelling skills and committed to his craft will make Michael an unforgettable film, said Joe Drake, chair of Lionsgate Motion Picture Group. The first films of my career were music videos, and I still feel that combining film and music are a deep part of who I am, said Fuqua. For me, there is no artist with the power, the charisma, and the sheer musical genius of Michael Jackson. I was influenced to make music videos by watching his work. The first black artist to play in heavy rotation on MTV. His music and those images are part of my worldview, yeah. And the chance to tell his story on screen alongside his music was irresistible. King adds, Antoine's film provide personal perspective, a larger than life characters that continuously captivate audiences. Fuqua's previous directorial credits include Training Day, which earned star Denzel Washington the Best Actor Award, The Magnificent Seven, The Guilty, and most recently Emancipation. I like Antoine Fuqua and stuff he does. He recently did direct a Lakers documentary on Hulu, which was cool. I think he's a great director. I can't wait. I'm curious to find out who's playing what part.
Who's going
to
play, yeah.
Everything. So that should be cool. And like I said, Fuqua is a good director. I said his name wrong. Fuqua is a great director. I'm looking forward to seeing it sometime in the new year or so. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm also curious to know how deep he's going to get into, you know, the life of Michael Jackson. Is he going to include the allegations that was set on him upon Michael Jackson, or is he going to leave that out and just, you know, focus on, you know, his legacy, what he contributed into the music industry? I'm looking forward to it, you know, and I hope he does a great job on it, you know, especially looking for the actors to portray Michael and the rest of the siblings and all, because, you know, they got to include all of them into it as well.
Well,
but
leaving out the go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Leaving out the allegations is like leaving out the Jackson 5 part of his life, because that's a big thing. So that's
right.
A huge chunk. It's hard to do that because a lot of his albums later on, big albums outside of Thriller, was around that time and started picking up steam. So it's a biopic. You got to address it like you did Ray or anybody else, the ups and downs. You got to throw that
right
in there, and I think he will. And I've seen a lot of stuff outside. I've seen a lot of documentaries that he's done where he got – like the Lakers one he did on Hulu. Y'all got to check it out, 10-part one. It's deep. It's not about the team. It's about the Buzz family and everything. Like, trying to bring up controversy. He asked some questions off camera. Like, it's deep, and I think he will. Because you can't ignore it. You cannot ignore that. Unfortunately, you can't. He's not doing the movie or himself. It's a disservice if he doesn't show everything. You have to. You got to take the good with the bad with the good. At the end of the day, so
I'm looking forward to the casting and the whole nine. It should be a lot of fun. Next thing, I'll move on. This is something I thought of you about when I'm talking about. Because we've been talking about music catalogs. The legendary rapper MC Light remains owner of her music catalog in divorce settlement. MC Light has many things to be thankful for this year, one being that she's legally a free woman. News outlets are reporting that the rapper's divorce from entrepreneur John Weish is officially finalized. In a list of things MC Light can keep, and she will remain the rightful owner of her music catalog and its royalties, which goes back to late 1980s. In February 2022, MC Light opened up about her struggles after undergoing a public divorce during an episode of The Real. The rap veteran shared that in the beginning, she was incredibly distraught by the entire process. She said, quote, I think in the very beginning, I was very distraught. I feel like there are phases whenever a relationship is ending, whether you're married or not. It's that first phase of, oh, my God, I've got to make this work for us. Then it's like, oh, my God, I've got to make this work for everybody else involved. Later in the conversation, MC Light disclosed that she knew immediately after exchanging vows with Weish in 2017 that the union wouldn't last despite all of her efforts. Quote, you got to get to the point where you're like, this isn't working. It doesn't matter. What really matters is we end up in a happy place. It's hard in the beginning, but you realize to have happiness doesn't mean you have to remain together. It doesn't mean that you are a failure because the marriage failed. It's also ego. You have to be able to let it go. MC Light, who met Weish on the dating website Match.com, filed for divorce in 2020, citing inconsolable differences. Come on, screen. According to the blast, MC Light marriage to Weish was brief. Court documents obtained, the publication state the paper thin lyricist separated in 2018, almost at the age tied the knot in Jamaica in 2017. Also in the docs, they mentioned details about the pair's prenuptial agreement. And MC Light and Weish didn't ask for spousal support, and the 52-year-old will be able to keep her belongings and the earnings she made throughout the dual short-lived union.
Before the court documents, right.
MC Light keeps her clothing. Why wouldn't she? Jewelry, watches, and personal effects in possession, custody, control. That's messed up. I can't keep my job. If you would have let
me. No, I didn't say that. Why can't I keep my clothing?
Come on, I get married now.
I'm taking your pants. I'm taking your shirt. I'm taking your bra.
My pants? Like, what the hell? I'm like, when I can take everything, people take everything. Like, you lucky walking out. Anyone who's going to divorce, make sure you got some clean panties and drawers on, because you might be walking out in public with them on. Because they ask you to keep that in mind. Make sure they wash and clean, because they're taking everything. So, that including during the marriage, the post-separation, her Subaru, financial accounts in her name, all furniture, furnishings, and other personal properties in her possession, custody or control. She also gets to keep her term life insurance policy. I will hope so. Why would you take someone's clothes and life term policy in a divorce? Is mean and evil. Damn.
Oh,
I want you naked, and I want you sick and almost in the grave. That's how mad I'm at you. Really?
This is hilarious.
Wow.
This is hilarious.
That is crazy. The catalog thing is key. You and I have been talking for the past couple of months about everyone's catalog,
selling.
Which we still don't understand why they're doing. They're just making these, I don't know, the logic to that. She's got hers. Hopefully she'll hold on to it. And obviously it sounds like she might hold on to it because she fought for it. So she might end up holding on to it. That thing stretches back, like you said, to the late 80s. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, from what I read before, I think it was due to her. It was a prenup that they had that where she was to keep her rights to her catalogs. You know, he obviously signed, you know, that prenup because if it wasn't for that prenup, then you know it would have went all over the place with that. You know, but because of the, you know, that was included in the prenup that she keeps that. that's how she was able to keep it and he wasn't able to get any of it. And, you know, a lot of people need to learn from that, need to learn from her from that. You know, you get married, make sure they sign that prenup where they don't get ownership of that, you know, especially your clothes, your health insurance.
your life insurance, like, God damn.
You know, make sure you include all of that into your prenup, you know, because these are things that you earn before the marriage. Now, things that you earn during the marriage, then now that's up for grabs.
Right.
That's
so
up for grabs.
My thing is, please make sure to put down all toiletries, put down what snacks you had when they moved in.
Right.
All types of stuff. Bath and Body Works type stuff. You know, put all that in there. Because they take your life-term policy and they're going to take your clothes and jewelry. That's not good.
Hair scarf.
Like I said. Yeah, scarf, tissues, remote controls, everything. Condoms. Whatever. They coming for you. And make sure, like I said, you go to court that day. It don't look good. Have your undergarments clean because you walking out in the cold like that. They taking it all. They taking it all. You ever see like the 1970s or 80s sitcoms where they used to repossess everything and they come in and take off your clothes and take your hat?
Yeah.
Take your,
they take
that's
everything
what you're doing in the
they
courtroom
walk out.
Now. Yep, that's what you're going to do that in the courtroom. Like, give it up right now. But I know, well, you should have dressed better. You should have dressed, you should have told somebody, bring a coat. Come on, give it up. And that's what's going to happen.
But I'm happy that she's, you know, she got all her catalogs, you know, she didn't sell it off. Like a lot of these, artists out there that's doing today, which I don't understand. I recently listened to LL Cool J, one of his messages where he said that he has 100% ownership of his catalogs, his publishing. You know, mom said knock you out all of them. He owns it, but you don't see him going around selling it off because he understood that they use his music, whether it's in music, whether they do in a ringtones or anything like that. He gets paid. He gets paid. So why would you want to sell it off?
I don't know. Others have done this. And like I said, maybe he may know. So reach out to him and find out. Maybe he may know why others are doing it. There's something going on within the industry that people know that we don't know about. There's a reason. And everybody talks amongst themselves. And we always thought you make more money holding on to it than selling it. I don't understand why they think it's best to sell off your hard work when you've fought hard to have it. I don't get that. You'll make more money if you keep it in the family, make it generational, pass it down,
right.
Don't give it up. You'll make more money. You can control whatever, commercials and all that stuff and whatever, movies. They're going to make a whole lot more than what they're going to give you. So
right.
I think it's like you work hard. That's your art. You hold on to it. And I will put that in the will. Like, look, do not sell my stuff to anyone. Hold on to it. You can live off of that and keep it and live off the royalties off of that, John. So it's a lot more to
you
dig
know,
into. A lot of artists that we got to find out why they're doing it.
Yeah, it could be a lot of reasons. It could be because, you know, they're living beyond their means and, you know, they're pressed for money. It could be so many other things. You know, it could be so much for reason why they're selling it off. I really don't understand it. They wrote it. They sweat, tears, performances, everything they done, and then they go and sell it off to, you know, whoever.
Right. There are some who are relevant now who sells it off. So, like, if you're touring and doing all that stuff, it's like, and you got other streams of revenue, why give that up? So it's something going on. Something's being promised behind the scenes. And that's the thing. It's like, what? Like, why is this happening? Like, everyone's kind of giving it to this one company. I keep seeing, you know, or a similar company. They did giving it off to them. They're giving up their hard work. I don't know. It's interesting. That's interesting. But what's not interesting is our music playlist. So like I said, we'll take a music break. We'll come back. More things to get into. NYPA Entertainment Radio.
Don't wanna take it anymore. I'll just stay locked in. I work so hard to make it every day.
but a slow, glowing dream that your fear seems to hide deep inside your mind. All alone I have cried, silent tears full of pride in a world.
Welcome back to NYPA Entertainment Radio. Let's keep this going. Zoe, what do you want to get into?
Well, your boy Young Thug and is in the news again, you know. Young Thug and one of his YSL co-defendants are accused of pulling off a hand-to-hand drug deal while in court during jury selection for Thug's RICO trial, and it's all on camera, allegedly. Courtroom surveillance footage captured the moment Wednesday in Fulton County Court. Khalif Adams walks over to Thug and clearly hands him an object. Aside from the cameras, at least two bailiffs were just a couple of feet away, saw the whole transaction, and immediately nabbed Adams. According to docs obtained by TMZ, hip-hop, a deputy later discovered the objects was a baggie of Percocet pills, while Adam is a defendant in the YSL RICO case. He is already serving a life without parole sentence for murder. The lawyer, Keith Adams, no relations, denies his client had anything to do with the drug deal, as the state claims in docs. He says Thug complied after being instructed to hand over the pills to the deputy. By the way, when deputies search Khalif, they say he had more perks and marijuana, tobacco, and other contraband wrapped in plastic and food seasoning to mask the scent of the weed. He was taken to a nearby hospital because authorities suspected he swallowed other drugs in an attempt to conceal them. Both Thugs and Adams are being blamed for delaying court. Not the best impression for Judge Glanville, who's had his hands full with the case before it even got off the ground. This is going to get uglier and uglier, and, you know, this is all alleged right now. I mean, they said they got it on camera, but to do something like that while you're in court fighting the RICO case, that was really foolish on his part to take that. You know, it doesn't look good on you. Doesn't look good for your case. Why would you do that? I have no idea. You know, keeping it real, is that what you want to do? That's a foolish thing to do. And I'm speaking of Young Thug and Adams. You know, that I can't even speak more on this because it's just foolish of how he wants, you know, this is his life in hand right now. He's in court fighting this RICO case to pull off a transaction in court wasn't the brightest thing to do at all. First off, how did he get the drugs? You know, Adams, you know, to have all that on him, the marijuana, the Percocets, and so forth. Who gave that to him for him to try to pass it off? Please explain.
I don't know. This is actually one of the stuff I was actually going to talk about your close friend and favorite lyricist, Young Thug, as I was on my list. I have no idea. I have no idea. It's dumb. It's stupid. I don't have any answers. Only they do, because I'm confused by the whole situation. Why would you do something like that? Allegedly, they got on camera of them exchanging drugs or whatever. It's confusing. And you know, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that when all eyes are on you? You would do something illegal when you're in court fighting for your life as it is. So that doesn't make any sense. I'm baffled by it. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't have any answers. It's just like your guess is as good as mine when it comes to that fool doing it. So I don't know. Moving on, Nelly twitches bizarrely while performing on stage. Fans are worried. Fans signaled of his eyes twitching and rolling in an odd manner. Nelly had a bizarre moment on stage, and it had fans a bit worried about as well. During a performance at Melbourne, Australia's Juicy Fest on this past Wednesday, the St. Louis representative took to the stage for a rendition
of his crossover hit over and over and began to act erratically throughout the live show. The audience watching the Diamond Selling Artist began to notice his eyes rolling in at the back of his head, twitching and slurring over his words. Then towards the end of the clip, and I've seen the clip, Nelly's strange behavior, you can see the artist beginning to wave his hands concerningly. As the video began to make its rounds on the internet, fans began to worry about Nelly's bizarre behavior, with some people insinuating he was high. One online user expressed that the country grammar entertainer looked washed as he struggled during his performance. I seen it is kind of weird. He is kind of like moving erratically, and his eyes are kind of rolling. Not bad as they think. More comical than serious.
Right.
You know, it looks kind of weird. It looks kind of odd. Of course, everybody's a fucking doctor out there. And was, hey, you on this, you on that. When did everybody become a doctor all of a sudden? Where do y'all get y'all degrees at? Who knows? I don't know what else this guy's on. Stop throwing everybody on Twitter like he's this coming up with, I think it's a mental health issue. What y'all start labeling people? I don't know either. It looks weird. But I don't know if he's on something or not, but it did look bizarre. I ain't gonna take that away, but I'm not quick to throw some labels on people. I don't know.
Right.
But it did look more comical than serious, because he was still kind of smiling a little bit. So I don't know what it was. A little bit jet lag. I have no clue. But it is very bizarre. So I don't know.
I haven't seen the video. Yeah, I haven't seen the video at all. I didn't know anything about it until you just mentioned it. You know, who knows? Maybe he was in trance of the music. You know, you're feeling the music.
You're right.
His eyes begin to roll. So it could have been that too.
You're right. You're right. Because I'm like, maybe he's feeling it. Maybe he's being goofy. Maybe he's jet lagged. I don't have no idea. But I didn't just, hey, he's mental health and he's on drugs. He's what? Like, where the hell are you bringing from?
We can't automatically assume that he's on drugs. That's why he's doing that. You know, again, he could have been feeling the music.
He could have been. That's it. He's concerned. He's washed. He's this and all, whatever the hell that means. What is this? Everybody got a damn PhD and shit in drugs. All of a sudden, everybody on Twitter, living in their grandmom's basement, all of a sudden, they're the smartest thing in the world. Like, come on. But we don't know. He hasn't commented on it. Apparently, he's all right because I haven't heard nothing else. But
he ain't worried about it.
Yeah, he ain't worried about it. But it looks more comical, and it looks like he's kind of into it. Who knows? But let's stop. You think we all have PhDs and tell people their mental health or whatever. We're not the experts. Lil Wayne, $20 million lawsuit against former manager takes major hit. Various claims made by Lil Wayne in his $20 million countersuit against his ex-manager and attorney Robert Sweeney has been dismissed. According to the papers, an appeals court ruled in Sweeney's favor upon hearing four allegations in the suit, including causes of action for fraudulent inducement, legal malpractice, breach of fiduciary duty, and unjust enrichment. The first division concluded that Weezy's accusations against his former employee held no ground, effectively nullifying a fraction of the lawsuit, which was initially filed in 2019. The New Orleans rapper alleges that the Sweeney firm, Sweeney Johnson and Sweeney LLC, that sounds kind of chased to begin with, y'all, took inappropriate payments. Sweeney Johnson and Sweeney LLC, something about that, anyway. Payments from legal settlements with Cash Money Records and Universal Music Group. He also said that Sweeney charged him 10% to broker deals for him and figured significantly above the standard 5% fee. In December 2020, Sweeney filed a suit against his former client over $20 million in unpaid commissions. The rapper then filed his aforementioned suit in which he accused Sweeney of overcharging him and not fulfilling his managerial duties. In 2021, the Manhattan Supreme Court threw out four of the main claims from Weezy's initial suit, along with four other charges and several other portions of the suit. Later that year, Wayne failed to appear at a deposition as Sweeney is seeking his percentage of the settlement the lyricist made with Cash Money in May 2018. John Harris Sweeney's appeals attorney said he was, quote, pleased with the Court of Appeals rejected Lil Wayne's cynical attempt to pay Ronald Sweeney for the work Mr. Sweeney did for him. He continued adding that he and his client will be vigorously pursuing his payment claims and will require Lil Wayne to appear in court to answer for his actions. Sweeney served as Wayne's lawyer from 05 until 18 when the pair parted ways. Would you say so?
Yeah, this is messy. This is all messy. The whole thing is so messy. I mean, pay up. If you owe, pay up. So we speak on this all the time on this show. Pay up. Just it.
Again,
pay up.
It goes to what I just said earlier, what I always say, is Wayne's side, Sweeney's side, in the middle of the truth. So everybody's pointing to whatever. But I don't know, Sweeney Johnson and Sweeney LLC sounds like a Three Stooges thing. Sweeney Johnson and Sweeney. Power finding Howard.
Who are you? I'm Sweeney.
I'm Sweeney. Who are you? I'm Sweeney Johnson. No.
I was getting ready to do that. Oh my god! I swear I was getting ready to do that. Oh man!
And it's out where though. Well, we discussed this a couple of years back, and it's still going on. So it's still going to continue to go on because it's going to get worse and worse and worse. All right, take a music break. I got a song for you, Zoe. We've been talking about it.
Uh-huh.
Here it is. We'll be right back. NYP and Tim Radio. Sit back. This is a song. You know when you hear it. You know when you hear it.
Okay.
Right. Everybody else will too. We'll be right back after this music break. NYP and Entertainment Radio.
You know, Short, a lot of people out there want to be my friend, you know, just because I got a little hit record out. You know what I'm saying? I know. Rap groupies. No, definitely rap groupies. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, we should do a little something for them, you know?
Check them. Let's just check them.
Let's
check them real
man.
Quick.
I know that you are out for my wealth. You better just check yourself. Cause in these days we don't go for that. So you better try someone else. I know that you are out for my wealth. You better just check yourself. Cause in these days we don't go for that. So you better try someone else.
Now I can recall the first time I was out on tour with my boy Too Short, leaving everyone in awe. I met this little honey, she said, hi, my name is Bunny. I never would have thought she was out for my money. Now she appeared to me to be smart and legit, equipped with hips that'll break your whole shit. But before that I could get a chance to knock it, the gold digger's gold digging in my pocket. First she tried to say that she was playing. She must have thought I was a fool cause she was saying, OD Nice, I want you, I want you. I wouldn't try to trust her even if I want to. I wanted just a smack in her face, but hitting females is just a bad mistake. I guess trying to get your money is a hobby or a sport, cause next she tried to kick it to my boy Too Short.
It's kinda funny, you want money from a pimp. You're thinking like 50%, I put my foot in your ass and then I owe you the rest. I know the game, ho, cause I'm the best. Playing balls ain't based on luck. You want money, I wanna fuck. And after we do all that, I'm taking my money back. Bitch, kiss my pimpin' ass. Cause all the time I didn't have this cash, you wouldn't call, wouldn't give me a number. I couldn't see you like Stevie Wonder. I made a hit record, now I got money. You wanna play Short Dog for a dummy. You're so cool cause you think I'm rich. You know you wanna be my bitch. I'm not single, baby. Not for you. Fuck a bitch and that's the goddamn truth. If I was you, I wouldn't hold my breath. Cause all you money hungry hoes might starve to death.
I know that you are out for my wealth. You better just check yourself. Cause in these days we don't go for that. So you better try someone else. I know that you are out for my wealth. You better just check yourself. Cause in these days we don't go for that. So you better try someone else.
time to come down too hard. If you need some money, you should go and get a job. But this one does not go out to all women, just those who try to kick game for a living. Cause I'm not the one to be played, so don't step to me when you wanna get paid. Cause you're the type of woman that survives on greed. Yo, short, won't you tell her what she needs?
What you need is some type of financial support. You won't get shit from your boy too short. I don't pay bitches and never will. I'm too busy trying to pay my bills. I understand your reason for trying, but I've been macking since 79. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Short dogs in the motherfucking house, bitch.
I know that you out for my wealth. You better just check yourself, cause in these days we don't go for that. So you better try someone else. I know that you out for my wealth. You better just check yourself, cause in these days we don't go for that. So you better try someone else.
Give it to me. I'm ready to go.
Dream, I wanna make it ooh, ah, hear you scream. And I practice what I preach, if you know what I mean. I'm about that, mommy. Yeah, I got the key and I'ma lock that, mommy. Yeah, we can roll and I'ma rock that, mommy. I do what I say and say what I mean. Now let me jump in between. I'm getting loose in this thing, like OJ the juice in this thing. Feeling like left eye, boy, I burn the roof in this thing. I got all the women getting naked, feeling like Luke in this thing. Think it's a game. Now I got the green lit and the green right. All I need is, mommy, for you to give me the green light, so I can run through it like an easy pass. Find a G-spot and step on the gas.
Give me the green light, cause I'm ready to go. Let's have a good time.
Let's go.
What you waiting for? You only got one life.
One life.
And we gon' live it up. So give me the green light. Cause I'm ready to go.
Give me what I asked for, I got a passport. Mr. International, I hit the airport. If you knew the kind of work that I transport, that Rihanna do me dirt to the crash course. I like the cleanest, greenest, leanest, Arena Venus, flow a genius, smoking Phoenix, you never seen this. I have a dream this, that 200 on the dash got me fiending. So I'm tryna ride out.
You waiting for? You only got one life, and we gon' live it up. So give me the green light.
Let's go.
Cause I'm ready to go.
Brothers, anyway. All right, well, jump to the next thing. You heard the song. That's the one. D-Nice is clean
D-Nice
as a whistle.
And Too Short is.
Too Short is raunchy, and I imagine
raunchy.
I was like 12 or 13 years old hearing this. I was like, oh, Lord, what the? He comments this cursing up a storm. And I was like, right there, I was hooked. I was like, that's my boy right now. Too Short is the man. Till this day, he'll play around. He let you know.
Too Short was like straight raunchy, but yeah, D-Nice was squeaky clean in his rap.
He was clean.
But Too Short was like, forget all that squeaky clean stuff. I'm going raunchy.
I'm bringing that Bay Area raunchiness. I'm bringing that. I love that song, though. That's one of my favorite songs off To The Rescue album, because Too Short brung it. Speaking of music, we just heard Green Light with Flo Rida. So speaking of Flo Rida, Flo Rida was awarded $82.6 million after winning a lawsuit against energy drink Celsius. Rapper Flo Rida has been awarded $82.6 million against Celsius. Flo Rida wrote named Tremar Dillard and his production company, Strong Arm Productions, sued Celsius Holdings, Inc. in May 21, claiming that the company had violated the conditions of an endorsement deal that ran between 2014 and 2018. This past Wednesday, South Florida jury found Celsius guilty of breaching the deal. The jury also found that the brand was fraudulently hidden information from Dillard. Dillard said in a statement that he had gained a new respect for the judicial system as a result of the ruling. I guess so, you got money. This was a long journey, but we prevailed from the start. I only wanted what I worked for, nothing more, nothing less. In a separate statement, Florida's attorney John Ustel said, we said we trust the jury to do the right thing. We trust the verdict, accept the decision of the jury. I'm glad in this case the jury concluded that Flo Rida should get what he worked for. According to the civil complaint, Dillard played an instrumental part in launching a new era for the company, a brand development, growth, and expansion helped introduce Celsius to millions around the world. Dillard's legal team claimed that he was not compensated in the form of promised bonuses of stocks and options for his work. Dillard's team also claimed that Celsius failed to notify Dillard when key sale goals in his contract were met. In 2014, Celsius traded for $1 per share, but now trades for over $100. Ustel said Dillard wanted the 1% ownership he was promised. Quote, in Flo's mind, this was always a vitamin water type of deal. He was signing on to 1% of the company for a multi-million dollar endorsement deal and was hardly getting paid anything for it. Shout out to Flo Rida, got his cash.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to him. You know, was it said that he was asking for far less than what they awarded him?
I think he got 82.6.
I'm not mad at him. And what he did after he was awarded, he had to drink, and he was drinking energy drink. So yeah, Flo Rida. I'm definitely happy for him. I mean, they need to stop. They need to pay up. You know, stop trying to underhand these artists. A lot of them know more than what you think they do. Some you may get over with, but a lot of them you can't get over with. So pay up.
Mm-hmm.
Pay up, or deal with it in court, and get awarded like Flo Rida did, $82 million.
Yeah. You know, I it's funny. Like I said, he's like, oh, I love your judicial system. I look at it in a different light. Yeah, because you got $82 million. Of course you love the law now, because the law paid you. And it went the other way. Mm-hmm. Man, F that law. Your jury just suck. So, of course you would love enough. You're $82 million richer. Yeah, pay your legal fees. You good to go.
Pay your legal
and
fees.
Start another.
As long as he don't misuse his money, that money should be able to last him. You know, he invested right.
Like I said,
he'll
get
be
another
fine.
Stream of revenue. Yeah, we get another stream of revenue like he's doing now. I'm sure you got Flo Rida, other businesses going on. A lot of these artists that you normally do, and he got stuff all through in the Florida area and all that stuff. So did the right thing, man. You didn't abide by the contract and so forth. So you got to pay up and. That's what it is. So 9 times out of 10, he'll probably reinvest it in something else. Go from there. Yeah, he might even stick with Celsius. You never know. So who knows? But
yeah, because he's still got a contract with him, I believe.
I believe so, yeah. So good for him. Someone, you know, kind of took down a big corporation and got what he deserved and then some. So that's what's up. What you got, though?
John Morant. You know, NBA player for the Memphis Grizzlies, won a great basketball player, I say. But Ja Morant, MVP like performance on the court this year has been the NBA suspicious cause of league is drug testing the Grizzly star for the seventh time this season. Yes, I said it. The 23-year-old guard could only laugh on social media, explaining he was about to get tested again. Being drug tested like six times this season, NBA All-Star said on Twitter, walked in the arena and found out I got another one today. Of course, Morant has been playing at the at an incredible level, averaging 27.5 points and 7.9 assists per game. And although the drug tests are random, according to the NBA, many players ain't buying that at all. In fact, the seventh test comes days after Morant destroyed Pacers big man Jalen Smith in the Monsters poster dunk. He also had 23 points and 10 assists, not this Saturday, but Saturday before when the NBA even praised a 6 foot three guard for what is called the dunk of the year. You know, for his incredible play and his explosiveness on the court, you know, it's like the NBA is automatically assuming that he's taking drug enhancement drugs in order to be able to do all that. It's like he can't do that on his own. So this is why he's laughing about it, because he's like, you know, he's not doing any of that. This is just who he is. He's just an explosive player. He gets out there and he plays 100%. You know, they just trying to find something on this guy, you know, because they feel that he shouldn't be playing at this level. Why not? Why not? Why can't he be playing on that level? He's in shape. He's young.
Well, but the funny thing, he's not the only one. So there's a whole right. league of people who playing just as good, if not a little better than he is. So
right.
It's kind of interesting. I think he's need to take. I don't know if he took it up with the player union or not. It's something he need to look into, because it's kind of odd. And again, go back to what I'm saying. What's odd about it is their side, his side, someone in the middle is the truth. Not saying he's on something, but there's. I don't know if he's exaggerating how many times they're doing it or whatever. But I'm sure he's not the only player, great player in the league, either, because he's not the only one. Like, it's not like he's doing everything and everybody is horrible throughout the league. There's at least a lot of players are just as good as him, if not better, but I haven't heard anything about anybody else. So there's something else. There's an underlining thing going on here that I'm kind of confused about. It's got to be more. There's got to be more than meets the eye at the end of the day, because it's just like you're not the only star in the league. You're not the star. You know,
right.
You're an all-star. You're a great talent, but there's other talent. I haven't heard anything from guys here or other teams complaining about. So I wonder what it is. I wonder.
Yeah.
I'm throwing
why
out.
Why
are
they constantly testing him randomly like that, seven times?
I'm going to throw it out there. They might have found a little weedy weed in him or something on a low one time. You never know.
Possibility.
You know what I'm saying? But it's hard to say, because it's hard to single him out, which is weird. Like, why are you and no one else? Not an Embiid, not a Harden, not a Curry, not a Durant, not a that's I'm kind of like not a Jokic or whatever. And so I'm like, why did they single you out? So it's not that clear cut, in my opinion. I don't think it's that clear cut. It's something else going on, but it is very suspicious and very unusual that they isolate him. And just like, hey, because you're too good, that just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. But hopefully, it'll start cleaning up down the line. If we really do have an issue, I'll take it up with the players' union. I'll look into it. That's what the union is for. And then that's it. And then go from there.
Right.
At the end of the day.
Indeed.
So,
indeed.
I got some for you. New Jack City cast. Quote, no sugarcoating violence, but there's a lesson, and we got Ice-T stamp. Naughty by Nature's Tretch and his New Jack City stage play co-stars are well aware of the real-life violence in hip-hop today and hope their production of the classic 90 films can scare the genre straight. We got Tretch, Gary Dordain, Fletch Alexander, and the one and only Big Daddy Kane Friday in Burbank, California. They're putting on the play all weekend at the L.A. Come on, screen. L.A. Theater, and they say the production doesn't shy away from violence, even with the recent string of tragic headlines about slang rappers. Trey says, quote, New Jack highlighted the brutality of the 80s crack epidemic and delivered the message that wasn't the route to take. He's hoping today's generation will take that lesson and apply it to the rap game. Flex says most of the cast has known each other for several decades, so it's been easy to mesh ahead of their performances. There's no take two in theater, and they all credit director Jacarius Johnson for getting them game ready months in advance. Recently spoke to Big Daddy Kane 101 in New York City, where he told us having Alan Payne, who reprised his role as G Money from the film, was a cheat code, and the rest of the cast needed to stay in line with the original. Speaking of those NYC shows, Gary Dordain tells us that the OG star Ice-T showed up to put his stamp of approval. For fans of the movie, Tretch plays Wesley Snipes, lead character Nino Brown. Gary Dordain steps into Ice-T's role, or say Ice-Cube role, Scotty, and Flex is Chris Rock's Pookie. Flex Alexander's Pookie. Still available in L.A. this weekend before the cast. He looks like a Pookie. Dallas, D.C. Scotty, I'm going to die. What is it going to put that in there? I'll go check out the play. I'm very curious to see the play. I wouldn't pay to see it, but I'm very curious just to see it, how it comes together and so forth. Tretch spin on being Nino, Flex being Pookie. Gary Dordain, if you're not familiar, used to be on Different World, NCIS, Brother with Light Eyes. He's playing Scotty. Scotty's going to die! And I'm just kidding. And then, of course, Alan Payne being G-Money. So I'm very curious on how they're doing it stage-wise. I'm just curious about that. Like, I'm just kind of just love to see what it looks like. Go ahead.
It would have been nice to see Wesley, you know, reprise his role. You know, it would have been nice to see him, you know, play Nino Brown. But I know that he's up there in age now. And, you know, not to say Tretch isn't also.
Right.
But go ahead.
But that's not Snipes' thing. He doesn't like going. He doesn't like doing sequels. I remember that. And then, like you said, reprising something he already did, regardless of age, he's just like, I don't want been there, done that. You know what I mean? Like, he don't even want to reprise Blade now. Or bring him back in the new Blade. So it's kind of just how he's always been as an actor. I'm just curious to see this ensemble together, how it was done, at least with Alan Payne in it, and just see how they made the movie into the play, and is it, you know, at least it's very similar step by step as much as they can do with the play. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm very curious.
Yeah.
I got there's some clips
I'm
out there somewhere.
Too.
I'm going to look on YouTube, see if I can find it. Somebody recorded it somewhere. I got to find it. I'm just curious to see how see how they do in each part and all that, you know. And I'm like, you know what, you pretty motherfucker. You know, I want to see that. You know what I mean? Something, you know.
But I'm with you on that. You know, I don't know if I would actually spend my money to go see it, you know. But, you know, it's something that will be out there eventually and we'll be able to see it somewhere. Somebody going to have it out there on social media.
Of course.
I'm interested to know how they're going to turn the film into
a stage play. Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll take one more music break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up here on NYPA Entertainment Radio.
I've been really trying, baby. Let's
To Marvin, you lose your clothes in the bedroom and not in the courtroom. You know what I'm saying? More Marvin, leave your clothes in the bedroom, you won't walk out in the courtroom looking naked. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Marvin got the message in there, right? That was telling you. Marvin, put some Marvin on. Where your clothes at? On the floor in the bedroom, right, Zell?
Uh-huh. It's coming off.
Don't stammer. Come on now. Don't stammer, though, right? Put that mic. He acting all shy right now. He knows.
Listen,
you put that Marvin
that's
on.
That's that music that'll get a lot of people in trouble. That's that music will get a lot of people in trouble. A lot of babies were made during that song.
Exactly. It'll keep your ass out the courtroom and in the bedroom. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Play some more Marvin.
Put that Marvin on, man. That's a classic.
Put that Marvin on for the lady in your life. And it'll keep your ass out the courtroom.
Not that today music that y'all think is love music. Put that on.
No,
put
please.
Some Barry White on.
Put
some
Barry
Marvin,
White on.
You know, some Luther.
Put some Teddy P. Put some Teddy P.
Teddy P, yes. Teddy P will yell at you if you don't move fast enough.
Exactly. You would never see Sweeney Johnson and Sweeney in the courtroom. Why? Because you'd be getting busy getting your Sweeney shine, your Johnson shine, in the bedroom. That's what I'm talking about. We spread love and education here.
All right,
we got. As much as I like to go on and on about lovemaking and good music, we'll do that next week. So we got to shut it down. Let y'all go. Zill, let's do the shout outs.
Yeah, shout out to everybody. This new year, a lot of nice things going to be happening, especially for NYPA Entertainment Radio. Stay tuned. Shout out to Kyle. Shout out to Philly, New York. As I say each week, new music, new topic, hit us up, nypaentertainment@gmail.com. Always remember, spell out the word entertainment.
Shout out to everyone near and far, Philly, New York, everyone globally. I've seen the downloads. Thank you very much. Remember to subscribe, download, share, write a review. The more reviews, get us up there in the rankings, 5 stars, of course. Share. Let everybody know about NYPA Entertainment Radio. Just spread the word. Tell them, spread the link. Tell them where they can find us on Blog Talk, iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon, and so forth and so on, Google, and I got so many to name. Thank you, everyone. Be safe this week. Like I always say, believe in whatever higher power you believe in. Keep the faith. Just be nice. Sounds easy, but be nice. Stay focused. And that's it. We'll see you here next week, Lord willing. NYPA Entertainment Radio show's over.
GB.
Yo. I'm not a preacher. I just like making good music. The show is over. I think I'm paranoid from the weed, Lord. Can you help me, please? Once more, I dropped to my knees. Tell me, Lord, how could it be? Blinds of rain I've never seen. Tell me, Lord, why is it me? Is it cause I'm chasing dreams? Is it cause I'm chasing cream? Is it cause I'm close to each and every one of my enemies? Danger is my company. I swear I hate this industry. All women love the way I'm living. They know I'm unforgiven, heartless and deceiving. How am I still breathing? Scared of what I've seen. Still scared of what I'm seeing. Making me pick and choose who's win or lose. Even one of one, my mind is left battered and bruised. Choose. These niggas fruity like a pebble. I fly straight, I'm on my level. Sell your soul, deal with the devil. I'ma stay smoking this weed, man. The show is over.
Having trouble finding the absolute meaning of life. Will I become a success? Can I find me a wife? These questions seem to get harder as they passing me by, but I won't give in to the pressure floating on cloud number 9. I'm just drifting away. These dreams keep me fueled to progress. This weight that I hold on my chest from packing on all of the stress. Throughout the daily grind, I seek to find a peace of mind. No wasting time, I need to climb up to the top to make this mine. Cause I control my destiny as I'm destined to be much more than the stars. Can I line the journey is dark, but I'll find a source of light to help distinguish the good and the evil, the benign and the lethal, the opaque and the see-through. Won't let my demons conquer all that I built from within. Present my past with my future ambitions through paper and pen. It's more than words in the story that I relay to you. My heart is stuck in a bind while searching for proof of certain truth. As if a beast while the wind is blowing and grass is growing. Ocean waters are flowing with these cups of liquor we pouring. As the summers get hotter, winters get colder, I stay a soldier. My mindset for the future's never been bolder. You need a shoulder to cry on, then you can lean on me. We all go through trials and tribulations throughout the lives we lead. The scars are They are reminders of battles that I've won. Lessons I've learned and rules that I broke to teach to my future son. Cause I'll be damned if he grows to be an illiterate, ignorant, and belligerent person who doesn't give a shit. That's all the question for me as long as I'm still breathing. Culture, my morals, the society as he begins teething. But if I have a girl, she'll be my diamond and my pearl, regardless of the cold-hearted nature amongst this cruel world. I'm just looking to be enlightened in this day and age with knowledge and wisdom to help me through all the pleasure and pain.
The show is over, the show is over.